86 years before the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in Brown versus the Board of Education, an African-American man named Alexander Clark tried to enroll his daughter at Muscatine's Second Ward Common School. He was denied, and he took the district to court. It was the first successful school desegregation case in the history of the United States, and really only a small part of Alexander Clark's remarkable story. Today is the 193rd anniversary of his birth. In fact, Muscatine, his hometown, is celebrating Alexander Clark Day with a number of events and celebrations. And we're going to talk about the impact and legacy of this incredible man. There's a lecture this evening. It's called The Legacy of Alexander Clark and Black Activism in Iowa, this evening at Muscatine Community College at 7 p.m. Dwayne Coleman is giving that lecture. He is pursuing his PhD in history at the University of Iowa, and he is here with me now. Dwayne, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me a little bit more about Alexander Clark. I mentioned this case. This is sometimes the only story that people know about Alexander Clark, but his early history is equally fascinating. Just give me a thumbnail sketch of who he was and how he got to Iowa.
Yeah, he was really an amazing figure. I would argue that he is probably the most amazing figure in Iowa history during the 19th century, black or white. And that's for a number of different reasons. He had a long list of accomplishments in his 65 years that he lived. In coming to Iowa, he was an activist almost immediately. He came at a very young age. He was still in his teens.
Wow.
When he arrived. And we start to really notice him being an activist in the Muscatine community around 1855, when there was a move by the black community of Muscatine to try to get rid of the 1851 exclusionary laws. There was an exclusionary act that was passed by the state of Iowa to exclude black people from entering into the state. And so Alexander Clark helped to organize the black community of Muscatine to petition the state government to repeal this act that was
only
passed.
4 years after it was passed.
Yes, this was a continuing process, and even after 1855, they continued to try to get that exclusionary law and also other laws that excluded African Americans from certain civil rights, citizenship rights, as well. So he started from a very early age.
Wow. And it's so remarkable even to think about him taking on that role as activist. He was trained as a barber a very young man, and that's what he practiced in Muscatine, right?
Right. He was trained by his uncle as a barber in Cincinnati. He actually left Cincinnati in 1841. And I think one of the reasons why he left Cincinnati in that same year, a month before he left, there was a riot, a race riot that took place there, a race rebellion, in which the white citizens many of the white citizens of Cincinnati tried to expel the black citizens from the city, using an exclusionary law as well. Ohio had passed exclusionary laws. And so in moving to Iowa and facing the prospect of being forced out of Iowa as a result of these kinds of laws, you can see kind of the connection as to why he, became an activist.
Yeah. What was the black community like in Iowa in the 1850s?
It was rather small. I mean, it still is rather small today, but it was very small during the 1850s and 1840s. But African Americans have been in the state of Iowa since the territorial days. So African Americans have always made Iowa their home ever since. Other people, other Americans have been inhabiting Iowa as well. And so it was very small, but it was very it was a very close-knit community because the people had to work together. And Alexander Clark was influential in helping to create those connections, those community connections.
Well, in Muscatine, I mean, it's right on the Mississippi River. I can imagine that there was a more flow of individuals coming from different parts of the country through Muscatine and the other river towns. So there must have been an exchange of ideas and people coming and going there.
Definitely. It was a hot spot, a hub for many different peoples coming through. And I think that's why Alexander Clark was drawn to it. I think that it was an up-and-coming city. I look at it very similar to the frontier city of Cincinnati. So I think that that's what drew him to Muscatine. And as a result of his ingenuity, he was able to become a very successful businessman and wealthy in the state in Muscatine.
Interesting. And obviously became influential all around the country as well. We're going to talk about some of his relationships with other activists and other very important individuals throughout the United States during that time. We are going to take a short break. We're celebrating today the legacy of Alexander Clark. This is the anniversary, the 193rd anniversary of his birth. It's Alexander Clark Day in Muscatine, and Muscatine is celebrating with a number of events, and one of them is a lecture tonight at Muscatine Community College at 7 p.m. It's called The Legacy of Alexander Clark and Black Activism in Iowa. Dwayne Coleman is giving that lecture. He's also here with me right now. He's pursuing his PhD in history at the University of Iowa, and we will talk more about Alexander Clark, his legacy, and African-American activism in Iowa in a moment. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. We're talking about Alexander Clark right now, a remarkable Iowan who 86 years before the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in Brown versus the Board of Education, he tried to enroll his daughter in Muscatine's Second Ward Common School. When he was denied, he took the district to court, and it was the first successful school desegregation case in the history of the United States. That's just a small part of what he did. Today is the 193rd anniversary of his birth. And with me right now is Dwayne Coleman, who's pursuing his PhD in history at the University of Iowa. He'll be giving a lecture this evening at Muscatine Community College at 7 p.m. called The Legacy of Alexander Clark and Black Activism in Iowa. And Dwayne, for the break, we were talking about Alexander Clark coming to Iowa from Cincinnati. He was a barber when he came, built a business, became a successful businessman. But even from very early years, was involved in trying to make things better for African-American people in the state of Iowa. I want to talk about what are called the colored conventions in Iowa. And this is something that's the focus of your research right now. But tell me about these gatherings.
Right. So the colored conventions movement was a movement that began as a result of the 1829 Cincinnati race riot. The first colored convention was held in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia, in 1830. And the point of that movement was to discuss the issues that black communities faced. One of the main questions that many of these early conventions posed was whether or not they should even remain in the country.
Like, should we flee and go to Canada?
Right. And so, after the 1829 race riot, for instance, in Cincinnati, there were over 2,000 black residents who left Cincinnati, some of them for Canada. And so this movement became a national movement. And there were national conventions that were held. There were state conventions that were held. There were local conventions. And Iowa had a number of these conventions, held a number of these conventions as well, state conventions. And Alexander Clark was influential in organizing and carrying out these colored conventions in the state of Iowa. And so black Iowans asked the same questions. They asked the same questions about education rights, about citizenship rights here in the state of Iowa. And the question was even posed as to whether or not they should remain in Iowa, whether it was even possible for them to receive equal citizenship rights in the state of Iowa. And continually, the answer was a resounding, we will stay. This is our home. So the color conventions were very important to the fight for equal rights in the state of Iowa for Black Americans.
The first of the colored conventions that took place, at least that we have record of in Iowa, was in 1857?
Right. Yeah, so in 1857, so this is 2 years after the petition that Clark and 32 other Muscatine Iowans signed in petitioning for the repeal of the Exclusionary Act. And so the 1857 conference was to try to influence the Constitutional Convention that was taking place in Iowa during that time period to try to get certain Black laws taken out of the state constitution. The word white removed from the state constitution, which then would allow Black people certain citizenship rights, like right to sit on a jury, testify against a white person, education rights. So because of the word white used in the Constitution, it excluded Black people from many of those rights.
I'm afraid I don't know my history that well. How long did it take for them to be successful in that effort?
Well, there were the progress was slow, and it happened over decades. It wasn't until the 1880s that all of the the laws that excluded Blacks from certain rights was actually removed from the state constitution. But over time, the Exclusionary Act, for example, was overturned in 1863 during the Civil War. And I think a lot of the reason for that was because of the activism of Alexander Clark, who continued to push for it, the communities that continued to push for to remove these laws, but also because of the Black soldiers during the Civil War
who were fighting with the North in the Iowa Regiment.
Right. So Iowa created an all-Black regiment during the Civil War. There were over 1,000 men who served in this regiment, and Alexander Clark was instrumental in recruiting members for that regiment. He was even known to have given away the money he received for recruiting, which was about $2, which would have been and he did this for at least around 50 men. He gave back that money, that $2, which would have been a substantial sum of money during that time period. This and the reason being is because he felt that by pushing forward and getting Black men the right to be soldiers, to have this regiment, would then allow them to claim citizenship rights. So this was part of a bigger move to claim citizenship rights for Black people in the state of Iowa.
I think so often when we talk about these moments in history, we tend to simplify the narrative. And you're just reinforcing that there was a community, there was a vision, there was a plan, and they worked and worked and worked to move that agenda forward.
Right. Alexander Clark is little known still, but he's one of the more well-known individuals in Black history here in Iowa. But there were many, many other people who were actively involved. Men and women, and oftentimes the women especially get overlooked in the story too. But his wife, Catherine Clark, was right there too. She was fighting right alongside Alexander Clark, Susan Clark, his daughter. Both of his daughters, Rebecca and Susan. In fact, the petition in 1855 has Rebecca's name on it. What's interesting about that is she was only a year old at the time. So
let's talk about the school desegregation case, because again, I mean, this is, if you know a story about Alexander Clark, this is the story that you know. And even this story, we simplify, because this wasn't just one man fighting for his daughter's right to get educated. Tell me more about what was going on that led up to this case.
Right. So this was, again, a community movement among the black community there in Muscatine to try to integrate the schools in Muscatine. And so the black school that they had in Muscatine was actually held in the AME church there in Muscatine. And the black community actually decided to one of the reasonings being as to why there was no need to integrate the schools was because their black students could go to a black school. And so they decided that they were no longer going to have the black school anymore, so that they could make the argument that that the schools needed to be integrated. And so this was a community push. And Alexander Clark, yes, he took the lead, as he often did. I think what's interesting about that too is his daughter, Susan Clark, was put at the head of this. So during a time period in which women, especially young girls, and their education wasn't necessarily
not a priority.
Priority, exactly. Right. Here is Alexander Clark and his daughter, right, and the community rallying behind Susan Clark in this push to try to integrate schools in Iowa. I think it's very profound and fascinating. And she later, of course, in the case, they won. They went to the Supreme Court after the Muscatine School Board appealed the ruling, which was in Clark's favor. It went to the Supreme Court, and they found that they found in favor of the Clarks.
It's interesting to me. Again, this was still 86 years before Brown versus the Board of Education, which is a really long time. Right. What were the ripple effects of this? I mean, did it substantially change life, at least for African Americans in Iowa?
It did. And at the same time, too, there were other attempts to try to integrate schools in Iowa even before the Clark case came about. In fact, after the Civil War, directly after the Civil War, after the men of the 60th U.S. Colored Infantry, who were the Iowa Regiment, after they came home, there was an account that I've found in my research of two of those men who later settled in Newton. And immediately upon returning home, they enrolled in the local school there. This is in 1865. And there was some, of course, some anger from some of the white parents about their children going to school with these black men. But in using their military service, the political capital of their military service, in claiming the rights of citizenship, and also because of who they were and how they held themselves too, the community rallied around them and allowed them to continue to integrate these schools. So that case there, coupled with the Susan Clark case as well, helped to push forward desegregation of schools and desegregation of other facilities too for black people. But it was a constant thing. It was something that each community had to work at. But as a result, education became a very important part of life for African Americans in Iowa. In Newton, for example, these men, they and their wives and their children, helped to create an environment in which education was very valued. In fact, in the 1890s, there was an article in the Iowa Bystander, which was a black-owned newspaper, that said that it was the fashion for black Newton students to graduate from high school.
That's a great fashion.
And yeah, and it said as well that that there were more black students who graduated per capita in Newton than even in Des Moines.
Interesting. I want to talk about Alexander Clark and others and the fight for the right to vote in Iowa, because, again, this was going on about the same time as well.
Right. And so again, the 60th became very important. Right after the 60th were discharged in Davenport, Iowa, they held a convention, Alexander Clark, so a colored convention. And Alexander Clark was influential in organizing this convention. He was honored with the position of sergeant major. He himself didn't get to serve because of an injury he had to his ankle. But this convention that they held in Davenport was to demand the rights of citizenship for black men in Iowa. And so soldiering became a very important factor in claims that they made to citizenship rights. But it wasn't until 1868 that there was a vote that eventually gave black people the right to vote here in Iowa.
We talk about the pursuit of education, and Alexander Clark himself continued to pursue education. Now, first, his son, Alexander Jr., was the first African-American to graduate from University of Iowa Law School. And then Alexander Clark himself became the second graduate in 1884.
Right. Yeah. So, again, education was very important to African-Americans in Iowa. And because, again, there was a law that actually forbade black people from becoming lawyers. And so a few years before Alexander Clark Jr. actually entered the university or the law school at Iowa, that law was eventually struck down or eventually changed. And so because of that, it allowed him to be able to become a lawyer. So in 1879, he was the first black graduate from the college.
Your research focus is on these black conventions, these colored conventions that took place. Also, you're researching that African-American community in Newton. Are you finding that there's a lot of this history that is yet to be uncovered?
Oh, there's so much more that has to be uncovered. It's very unfortunate. Because it's such a rich history. And it's not even that there aren't very many records. It's just that the records exist. It just takes some effort to look for those records.
And it's been overlooked for a long time.
And it has. It has. Just recently, just this weekend, I found so I'm part of a project known as the Iowa Colored Conventions Project, which is part of a national project called the Color Conventions Project. And you can find this project on colorconventions.org. And the project actually we're trying to create a digital project that will that can be used in schools to look at these colored conventions and the contributions of the colored conventions and the individuals, both men and women, who participated in the colored conventions. And just recently, just this week, past week, we discovered two new colored conventions.
Wow.
and possibly other some more as well.
Well, we will definitely have you back to talk about your research about colored conventions. But here on Alexander Clark's birthday, what do you want people to know? We only have about 30 seconds left, but why should people know his name, and what do you want people to remember about him?
Right. We just really kind of scratched the surface in terms of Alexander Clark. He also was the editor of the Chicago Conservator, which was an important black newspaper for the region. That newspaper later would be owned by Ida B. Wells. He was nominated to be ambassador twice. He turned down the first one to go to Haiti, and he accepted the second one to go to Liberia, where he actually died. But Alexander Clark, his legacy is a legacy of the black community of Iowa.
Well, we will talk more. And thank you so much for being here. Dwayne Coleman, he'll be speaking tonight at Muscatine Community College at 7 p.m. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe.